Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, to receive from you. And we just, Lord, open our hearts to hear your word, to appropriate it, to make it ours, Lord. And we give you thanks and praise, Lord, for it, because it changes us, it empowers us, gives us victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we have started this new series that has to do with the Holy Spirit, who is the executor of God's authority and power in our life. Understanding how the Holy Spirit works inside us and through us to achieve God's purposes. There are some things about this series that is going to be new, that this is something that I believe is important, is going to make a difference in your life, because you're going to see the importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to develop your ability to develop actually the fruit of the Spirit. So the final goal is the fruit of the Spirit, but to get there, you need to understand how to get there. And this is the work of God inside you that produce the changes inside you. You can change yourself. You can pull yourself from your bootstraps off, so you say, you know, just there is no way. You cannot improve yourself by your own effort. It's the work of God in your heart and in your spirit that produces the changes. Now, when you are born again, the first change take place. But that's not enough. You need also to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said, and this is the experience that we need to have to be able to develop in our walk with Him. Otherwise, we end up operating on the mind level, and that is very limited, because you cannot understand spiritual thing with your mind. They should be, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says clearly that these things should be spiritually discerned. So how do you do that spiritual discernment? It comes really from the spiritual experiences that you are going to have as God works in you. And so only when that takes place and you start understanding the way you operate, that you can see the impact and you see the changes, see the transformation that takes place. So we started to say some things. Okay, we started to look at Jesus' ministry. And as Jesus' ministry is both an example for us, because the way he operated is the way he was showing us as we had to operate. Okay, so that's one side of the other. The other side is the fact that he did what we cannot do, or we could not do, that was die for us, die for our sins, so that we can be in the same position that he was when he was walking on earth. So when we understand that, then we can start connecting with him. So it's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference in us. And this is the promise of the Father. And this is what Jesus stressed so much, both when he was teaching and ministering and when he left. The last few words were exactly on that area, on that topic. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit come upon you, then you shall receive power. Power for what? Power. We're going to see power for what. But the idea is that that what makes the difference is when we receive that touch from God, that experience that enables us to operate in a level that is more than just our thinking, our mind, and our abilities. So the good side about that is that we don't need to wait, because it happened already 2,000 years ago and it's available to us. So there is nothing to wait. It's not, you know, some early Pentecostals said, you know, just that to tarry and wait and so on. Well, that was done by the apostles. The Holy Spirit came in the day of Pentecost. It's available to anybody that is open to receive it. So there is nothing to it. It's a question of getting to the place where you understand and you respond to what God wants to do with you. That's all. And then things start to happen. So this is kind of the beginning of some of the things that we were saying. Now the key thing here is that when Jesus died for us, what he did is established a new covenant. And that is the second element that we have to completely understand and understand the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And the reason why there was this new covenant. Evidently, as we read in Hebrews chapter 8, you know that the old covenant was not enough, because otherwise, if it would have been not enough, Jesus didn't need to come. The Jews, Israel, kept falling all the time because they could not keep their side of the covenant. Okay. And as a consequence of that, they got in trouble all the time. Well, the new covenant is a different, based on different thing. It's not the covenant between us and God, it's the covenant between Jesus and God. And that one makes a difference. That we are not, the old covenant could be broken because it was depending on us. The new covenant cannot be broken. So there, because the requirement of the covenant, the requirement of the law are met in Jesus. And the thing we had to have is trust and believe in him. Because that is what's the difference. Oh, everything that we get from God, everything that happens with us is through faith. See, that's the only way to please God. And our faith has to be put not in our own abilities, not in what we can do, not on our successes, not on our works, but on what Jesus did. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, that we are saved by grace through faith. Okay, so this is the basis on which we receive from God. Everything, there is nothing that is received in any other way. God is a God of faith, works through faith, and works through our through the faith that we have, and our faith is simply the fact that we believe what he says. It's not something that comes from some place, it's not something otherwise. We are not controlled, we can be given credit at all for something that you have not controlled. It's something that God puts on you. The fact is that we have the choice to believe or not believe what God said. And when we choose to believe, automatically that is faith. Faith, and you know, and sometimes may take time for us to go to the place where we really agree with what we believe, but the fact is that's what we have to start to recognize within ourselves. That we really truly believe what we say, not the words that we say, not what we think that we believe, is what the reality is, because when you really believe something, you're going to act like you what you believe, and you're going to have the results that correspond to what you believe. This is automatic. It's not something, it's just a law. It's the law of faith. You get the results in your life corresponding to what you believe. Even God, the God that you experience, is going to be the God you believe in. That's what the word says. So, you believe God is hard, you're going to experience a hard God on you. You believe that God is a loving God, you're going to experience that God is really loving you. And that's up to you. See, this is why he's given us his word. His word makes all the difference. This is where we had to go through to understand and to think the way we should be thinking. All the problem we have is our wrong thinking. We have to think right. And to think right, you have to think the way God thinks. And to find out the way God thinks is not by your own philosophies or ideas, is to go to the Word of God. It's all written there. And what we had to learn to do is to read what is there, not what we think is written there. Because indoctrination and 2,000 years of Christianity have introduced so many doctrines of men and so many interpretations of the word that really God was all over the place. Jesus said it very clearly in Matthew chapter 22, you know, that you err because of you don't know the scripture nor the power of God. So all those two elements are so important to have to be able to connect with them and not to fall into error. Now, just remember, this is so important, that everything you receive from God is by faith. Okay? Now, one of the important things of the new covenant that took place is the fact that there are some impacts, some implications that weren't there before. So, for example, reading from 2 Corinthians, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, says there, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him." You know, this is an important concept to embrace and to understand. The word says that we are complete in him. You know what it means that we are complete in him? That we got everything we need. That means that we don't have to go around looking for something else. In him, we have everything that we need. Because in him, there is the fullness of the... in bodily, there is the fullness of God. Now, you know, when you come in to deal with this kind of an idea or concept, one of the things that you have to realize is to look within yourself and says, do I feel complete in him? See, because the way you feel... You know, I'm not talking about just theologically agree with the idea. Or because the Bible says, do you really, within your heart, feel that you are complete? Or you need something else? Many believers, many Christians, go around trying to get something. All the time. Well, if you try to get something, that means you are not complete. Hello? Okay. When we got to the place that we are complete, we are at rest inside ourselves. You know the way it says in Hebrew. You know, you come into the rest. So you know that you got everything inside. You don't need to go around looking for things or looking for somebody else or whatever. You have it. Because Jesus did it. And he did everything that you needed. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. If you are there wanting for something, being desperate about things, that means you haven't got it. So there has to be a resolution within ourselves about our feelings, the way we feel about things in general, the way we see ourselves even. See, this is the big change that has to take place within us when we come to realize who we are in Christ. You see, it's our identity has to match what the word says. And how are we going to find out the identity? By the things that we experience ourselves. You know, if you go by that, you are never going to be what God says you're going to be. You're never going to even be saved. Because that's, you know, how can you be saved? You're saved because you believe something beyond what you experienced up to that moment. So, we have to start seeing ourselves the way God describes us as believers. He says, for example, that when we are born again, we are a new creature. All things are of God. How do we feel that that's the way we are? Well, I said, well, I look at myself. What, I'm not saying you look at yourself. You see, if you look at yourself, you're never going to be able to believe what God says. See, our senses change, our feelings, our emotions change from day to day, from moment to moment. They're completely unreliable. There is only one thing that doesn't change, and that's God. And what he said. See, because God's word does not change. I mean, there are plenty of scriptures saying that. He does not change. His word cannot change. He is bound by his word. That's why he's faithful. He can only do what the word says he does. And so when we start realizing his personality, what he does, the way he works and everything else, then we realize, you know, that he's not going to change. We had to change. And the way we are going to change is to agree with him, to allow what he wants to do in us to take place, because he respects our will. He allows us to be the way we want. If you want to go to hell, he let us go to hell. If you want to join him, he's with open arm receiving us and wanting us to have communion with him. Are you following me? So here it says that we are complete in him. If we feel incomplete or non-complete, whatever the word is, doesn't matter, then we have to change the way we feel. And we change the way we feel by being open to what he says about us. By going to the Word of God and allowing that to become a reality to us. Let me continue here. Who is the head of principalities and power? In him, who were also circumcised by the circumcision made without end, by putting off of the body of sin of the flesh, and by circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism. So you see, the thing is, people try to circumcision is nothing else than a symbolic thing, especially in this case in which the flesh part is removed from us. And that's not achieved by our own effort. It's not achieved physically, it's achieved by what God does by the circumcision of Christ. How does he do it? He changes us. He just transforms us in the way we should be because we believe in what he has done. And so we appropriate by faith the freedom, the righteousness that he has procured for us. We are righteous not because of our own righteousness, not because of the works we have done. We are righteous only because of his righteousness that was transferred to us, not because we deserve it, but because he did it and we believe that what he did is enough to make us righteous. That's the basis of our faith. But you see, as soon as your faith is start to work in that dimension, the flesh is going to fall off you. The other desires are going to go. And you're starting to walk the way God calls you to walk. Not because of there is imposition of the law, but because the law is written in your heart. That's what the new covenant is all about. I will write my law into your heart, and your heart will be the heart of flesh instead of being a stone. That one makes all the difference. You see, we start to walk in freedom, but our freedom is really what God wants anyway. It's not that we go around sinning. So, and baptism is a very important step of this process, because baptism is nothing else than the realization of what took place symbolically, but the symbols by themselves don't do nothing. It's the fact that you participate in your heart with that process. Okay, so people that are just dunked in the water, they don't know what they're doing, and they think they're doing something. They're just getting wet. The important thing is that they know what they are doing and they are appropriating by faith. Otherwise, how can you appropriate something by faith if you don't know what you are doing? How can you appropriate healing from God if you don't know that God wants to heal you and he's going to give you the ability to receive it? How can you receive salvation? How can you be born again if you don't know that God wants you to be born again and be transformed? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you don't know that God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Unless you know and you agree and you in your heart with that truth, it's nothing. Well, that's what religion is. Religion is just formality and is not the truth in your heart. Has no power to change anybody. Okay, let's continue here. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith. You see, everything works that way. I mean, that's the way Christianity works. Okay? In the working of God, not yours, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. You see, you have become alive. Before you were dead in your trespasses, now you are alive. I mean, you had to feel that you are alive. You had to agree with inside. There has to be nothing inside you saying, no, I'm not. And if there is, you had to just repent about that. Just say, no, I'm wrong. Oh, I can't do it. You know, one of the things, I can't do it. I cannot walk there as a believer. Well, you got the problem then. You have to believe that you can, otherwise you cannot. Period. You have to believe, you have to stand on what the Word of God says. If he said he set you free, who the Son set free is free indeed. Are you free? Well, I don't know. Well, you don't know. You don't know. Exactly. You have to know that you are free to be able to walk free. You have to know that you don't have to do the things that you shouldn't be doing because you are not bound anymore by these things. Your heart has to embrace the truth before you're going to see it manifested in your body, in your life. He says that you are alive in him. You're not dead in your trespasses anymore. You are not a sinner anymore. Otherwise, get saved. As simple as that. Either you're a sinner or saved. There's no in between. And so you had the, and being saved is all just a decision that you're going to believe what Jesus has done is enough to set you free. And stick with that decision no matter what happens. You're not going to look at the physical anymore because you cannot walk in the spirit looking at the physical. You know, you're still walking down here, and so there are some practical things you have to do. That's not what I'm saying, and don't make me say that. If it doesn't work down here, it means your theology is wrong. Simple as that. It's my position, you know that. So, if it's true theology, it produces what it says. If you're making it up, it's not going to work. That's simple. That's very simple. It's yes or no. Okay. Now, let's continue here. So he has made alive together with him. Can you say alive together with him?
Alive together with him.
Like you mean it?
Yeah.
All right, good. Praise the Lord. Having forgiven you all trespasses. That means they're all gone. Don't look back. They're clean. You're clean. If you did that, you're clean. And if you say, well, you know, I did something this morning. Well, repent and go ahead. You know, it's no use. You cannot do anything about the stuff that you did already. You just have to repent and keep going. And he's there. What he's done is enough to make you, to transform you, to change you, to set you free from those that stuff. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us. So you see, this stuff is being cleaned up so that you're clean slate at the moment. Which goes contrary to us. And has taken out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed all principalities and powers, which means that they are impotent against you. If they're disarmed, that means that they're not armed, isn't it? So if they're not armed, they cannot harm you. People go around being afraid of the devil and everything else, but he's disarmed. So instead of being concerned about giving power to him because of your fear, start believing what Jesus has done and start walking in freedom. It's not that complicated. I mean, you don't need, you know, just read the word. Read what is sent there. That's all you have to do. having disarmed principalities and power and made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them in it. You know, it's a public. I mean, people should be able to see it. If it's public. Don't you agree? It's public. Amen. So it's just not just up there someplace. You know, what the way you look, the way you do, the way you behave, is public. That these things have no power over you. Okay. Next step is, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, few verses before, in verse 12. It says there, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. See, you are already qualified. If you wonder if you are qualified, you know, qualified for what? But, you know, he has qualified us. It's not that we get qualified for the things we do, but he has qualified us. That will give us the basis to do anything. And we're going to see better how he has qualified us and for what. Okay. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You see, anything, we have been qualified by the Father because of our faith in Jesus. Okay, to be partaker of everything that the saints have. Not just some. And he's doing. So, you know, the first things that you have to look at yourself about defining your own identity is to say that I'm qualified. Okay? You have to believe that you are qualified. You know, I can do anything. Well, that's exactly what you're going to experience. You are qualified. Can you say I'm qualified? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Good. Because this is important. See, that if we don't have some ground on which we stand, how are we going to stand? If we don't know what we have, how can we use what we have? And one of the things we have is qualification before God. God has prepared us and has done the things in us so that we can be what he wants us to be. We don't go out be around beggars. Like many of the songs says, you know, we are not beggars. We are conquerors in Christ. That's the difference. When we start to seeing ourselves as beggars, that's what we are going to do, begging everybody to get something, when instead we are more than conquerors. And we have to accept that, because it's not us saying it. It's not that we are trying to be something that we are not. It's something that God said we are. So we either accept what he's saying, or we go in our own way and say, you know, well, you know, I'm a Christian. And it doesn't mean anything, because you don't believe anything that God said. See, being a Christian is not so complicated. You have to just read the Bible and do what it says. Or believe what it says. Start there, and then you can do it. But you start by believing it. Partaker of the inheritance of the saints. And we are going to see that later on, but, you know, that's to start with. And has delivered us from the power of darkness. So one of the things, you know, people go around and says, well, you know, I need deliverance. Hello. Have you read this verse? What does it say? Did you need deliverance? Are you a believer? So you are delivered? That's what it says here. From the power of darkness. Not just, you know, even from the power of darkness. I mean, those things can do nothing to you. Jesus said, you know, you can step on scorpions and serpents, and they shall not hurt you.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then you can, you know where you stand. You know your authority. You know your power. You know your ability. You know that you can be touched. And if you don't know that, you're going to be touched, and even more. You see, we had to take that position. This is our faith at work. If our faith is, I need deliverance, well, then that's your faith. That's your belief, because there is no difference between what you believe and your faith. Okay, and conveyed into his kingdom, or the kingdom of his Son, of his love. So, now, if you're there, you are in the kingdom. You are walking in the kingdom. Hello? See, you don't need to go wait, you know, some time to go to heaven to walk in the kingdom. You are already being conveyed. This is past tense. You are delivered, you are conveyed, you are all these things. These are past tense. That means, you know, you don't have, it's not something that you have to aim to get. It's something that you already have. Well, evidently, you know, you can have a million in the bank and not know that you got it, and you can be on the street begging people to survive. Or you can use what you have and live in abundance. The difference is what you know that you have. That's all. Now you are delivered and you are in the kingdom of his son. And you are partakers of the inheritance of the saints. What more can you get? Tell me. I mean, you got everything you need. Everything, you know, First Peter says, you know, we got everything that we have, you know, for life and godliness. Everything. We don't need to go around begging anybody. We got it all. Already. But we have to start believing it. And we have to start acting like it. That doesn't mean that we make ourselves big, because we know that it's not, we cannot even boast about it, because we have done nothing for it. He did it for us, and the only thing we can do is be grateful to him, because he has done it. So how can you not love a God that has done everything for you? There is no way. I mean, the only thing you can do is love God. Don't need to have the law telling you to love God with all your heart, because you know that everything you got is coming from him. It's not an effort to love somebody that loves you that much. It's not an effort to obey somebody that loves you so much, because you trust him. Otherwise, how can you trust him if you think that he put the scissors on you to give you a correction? All right. So, how did he do these things? Verse 14 of Colossians chapter 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, that stuff is dealt with. You know, when I got saved first, you know, it wasn't taught by anybody and everything at the beginning. And I had to deal with all my past sins. And it took me quite some time to just get cleansed. And I was going and before God and repenting, all this stuff. I wasn't a murderer or anything, you know, but I wasn't so terrible compared to other people. But the Holy Spirit convicted me about these things. And, you know, for a long time, I even cried about my sins. Okay. Today, you know, if I would have had somebody to teach me better, I would have known better and I would have done, but that's okay. See, my heart was in the right place, and the Lord helped me to see and to understand with time. That's the good thing that we have the Word, you see, that to teach us. What I'm saying is, this is the place we are in now. This is the place that God has put us in, and we can stand there. We need to know it, and we start to exercise our faith in appropriating everything he has done for us. And it's more than we can ever imagine. Because, you know, the things I share with you are just a super summary of what he has done. It doesn't really show the detail. When you start understanding the detail, the only thing you can do is not sit around there anymore. You start dancing around the room, because it's more than we can even think or imagine. Now in Romans, we have to understand that to experience this, to be in this kind of space or life, you cannot be that way in the flesh. You cannot be depending on your senses. See, many people think that the flesh is just, you know, some terrible sins. Reality, you know, the flesh is everything that you learn from your senses. Because this is what the other things come, all the sins come to as well. Okay, but refresh, the flesh is nothing else but what you receive from your senses. Sense knowledge is flesh. All the things that your sense knowledge bring about is flesh. Put it that way. This is why you cannot develop spiritually by the things that you experience. You have to go to the Word of God, in which is the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit shows to you the other dimension, shows to you what is in the kingdom. That's the only way to get the understanding. Otherwise, what you maximum you can do is a religious story. Okay? That's how all religions come. They try to reach God. And they fail miserably because you cannot do it. The only way you can do it is for God to come and pull you out. And that's what he did, giving the Bible to us, and that's what he did by sending Jesus. He did the whole thing because he loves us. So you cannot do it any other way, and if you try to do it any other way, you're fooling yourself, and you're getting yourself more in trouble than anything else. This is why religion is bad. Keeps people in bondage. Bondage of themselves, on their own idea, or the ideas of other people that they hear from. You have to go to God and receive from God revelation. These things need to be spiritually discerned. That's what 1 Corinthians says, chapter 2. When you start accepting that principle, then, you know, it becomes so much easier to grow in the Lord. Because you are not trying to spin your will, trying to do things anymore, but you connect with him, and he just lifts you up. So, let's go to read Romans. And the Holy Spirit is the key to this, because this is what the Holy Spirit was sent to us. See, the problem with the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on them sometime, of the priest and the things, so that they were anointed to communicate to the other. But they didn't have it. We are much better. The least of the one in the kingdom is greater than the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. That's what Jesus said. That means you and me are better. Alright, are better than all these other big names on the Old Testament, because they did not have the Holy Spirit inside them the way we do. He dwells in us. Where we go, the Holy Spirit goes. And he's not just some special preacher. It's everybody. The least one. I want to be the least one and be there, rather than all the other ones in the Old Testament. So let's read from Romans chapter 8. See, Romans chapter 8 talks a lot about the Spirit, starting from verse 1. But I'm not going to read everything, otherwise we'll never get there. But, you know, what I'm trying to get to, and it's good to you see the whole picture here, is to get to the place where you can start seeing the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that you can understand the way that you start wanting them manifested in you. And start cooperating with God about having those things, because they are going to change you, because they are going to give you the experience that you need. And that you cannot get or fabricate by yourself. See, it has to be a gift from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, "And if," and that's the big if, "Christ is in you. The body of death is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." See, the first thing is, if it's in you, okay, your body doesn't have any more power, it's dead. But your spirit is alive. Okay, so that's the first thing. But you always have a choice. You can choose what you want to follow. See, God doesn't stop you from doing things that you want to do. Your will makes a difference. But your spirit is righteous. You know, when you are born again, you are just as righteous as ever you can going to get. You can't get any righteous, more righteous than that. You can't get, because it's not you. God has done, is finished what he has done and cannot do anymore. It's your mind that has to be renewed. It's your body that has to line up with what is inside you. You can be more holy than the Holy Spirit. He's inside there. That's where you get the holiness in your spirit. All right? So this is what has to happen. You see, what's taking place is that as soon as the word use words. You know, and the words communicate with your mind. And so your mind is the thing that has to be changed the way it thinks, the way you think. And the only way to do is to see what is the right thinking and what is the wrong thinking, so that you can choose the right thinking instead of the wrong thinking. And the only way you can do that is through the word, is not through what people go around saying, not what you even feel, not the way you think sometimes. You go to the word and you see, is that the way I feel? Is that the way I think? That's why I stress that often. There is something there that just doesn't quite fit, there is some fitting to do, but not in the word, it's in you. As simple as that. But if you don't believe that the word of God is the word of God, then forget it, then you lost the game before you even start. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and my assumption is that should be the case if you're born again, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So the idea is, you know, what does it mean that gives life to your mortal body? Well, everything that has to do with you, physically, even physically, is not just something spiritual. People try to separate us in two parts, spirit and body. And like, you know, there is a dichotomy or like there are two beings there. No, there is only one person. Your body is nothing else, a part of you, and so is your spirit. You cannot take them apart. What happens in your spirit has an effect on your body and vice versa. If you do the wrong thing, your spirit is affected. That's why, you know, you need to be born again so that your spirit is changed and then you start seeing the transformation that takes place as your body starts to line up what's going on inside. It says there, that if the Spirit of Christ is in you, the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. That's the type of power we are talking about. I mean, Jesus was dead for 3 days, and he was brought back to life with a body that was much better than the one he had before, but was still a body. And the same power, that's all the power you can think of, is in you. To do the same work for you. And that means whatever blockage, bondage, whatever limitations, whatever things that you have within yourself, is nothing for him to change. Don't tell me it was as big as what happened. You know, Jesus didn't do anything. You know, just the power of God came on him, was alive, set free from the bandages and the ointment and stuff like that. They would kill you. Even without being dead, he was raised back, and he had all, don't need to say anymore. That power is inside you. Not just somebody, all of you, if you are born again. Give it a chance. Just allow that to become a reality to you, because that power works by faith, because it's everything, all the power of God works by faith. So let it manifest in your body, because that's what he wants to do, not just in your spirit, not just in you going to go up to heaven. It's just right now, God wants to work us down here so that we can do the work that he wants us to do. Amen. It's there. I mean, it's too nice to be true. Yeah, it's too nice to be true. We certainly don't deserve it, but that's what the gospel is. It's too nice to be true. That's why it's called gospel, the good news. It's good news. Hallelujah. The bad news is we finished the time. Are you following me? So we want to get there. We want to build up brick by brick to the place when we can start operating and understanding better the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to see them manifested, not just in some, but more people. Because through those, we can break through the limits, because it's God's power operating in us. And you learn something from that. And I'm going to close with that for today. Get anything? Good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We believe, Lord, that at times the understanding that is available these days is the result of your work and the time that we are in. Jesus is coming back, and this is the preparation for that. You need a people to do the things that need to be done before your coming, so that you can be ushered in by your angels. We just praise and thank you, Lord, that we know that we have everything we need in your word, and that we come to your word, Lord, to receive it and to appropriate it and to start living, Lord, in the life that you have planned from the very beginning for us to have. And this is just an advance to the things that are going to come. And we just praise and thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Touch our minds, that we may be able to receive the truth and to make it ours. We just thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord.